Y'all just bear with me, okay? I'm going to do this. I'm going to share this. So I take customers out all the time for lunch and dinner, and we visit and get to know each other. And one time I was out, and I took some vendors out. And, I mean, obviously, took them to Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, it's obvious. Psh, I mean, that's exactly. Is there any other? I mean, come on, 10-piece boneless buffalo wings, 5 with the garlic parmesan, a 5 dry buffalo little ranch. Ooh, some Jesus food right there, son. Some good stuff right there. You know what? I don't care. It don't matter. It's so good. That chicken nugget is so good. Some Jesus food right there. So no. All right, we're not here to argue. I am right though. It's better than Wingstop. Anyway, I got the microphone. Okay. So I took him in there one time, and we went to the lady asked us, "Do you want a booth or a table?" And I said, "The booth's fine." And he goes, "We ain't on no date." I said, "We can do a table." I started thinking about that. And so me and Danny, we'll go have lunch and we'll find ourselves in the booth and we're like, "So is this a date?" "Yeah, it is." "All right." So me and my wife, when we go out on a date, you know, we try to go to the booth because that's for date night. One of the things about date night is what I love about going out on date nights is you sit in front of your person and you're getting to talk to them and visiting with them, right? You're getting to know them and you're giving each other googly eyes. Now, if you are in this date night and all you're doing is yapping, not letting the other person talk at all, man, what happens? It's not really accomplishing much. You got to learn to listen, right? One of the things that I do a lot of times with my customers when I sit down with them, I let them talk. And they will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I learn a lot about them when they do that. And they that's what we do, right? So it's the same thing with a date night is we learn to listen. And we go before whoever, with our spouse or whatever. We want to know them. We want to learn them. We want to know more about them. Why? Because we want to fall more in love with them. I was praying about this, where to go to in this. And I was like, "God, my heart's desire is to fall more in love with you." And he said, "Great. Then it's a date." And I was like, a date night. So our new series we're jumping into is, it's a date night with Jesus. And so my desire is every Wednesday night over the next umpteen weeks, however long it is that we would come into this place as a date night with Jesus. With our hearts and our minds focused on getting to know him better. I promise you, when you have that kind of a mindset going in, man, You learn more. Your heart is more open. And so my prayer is, again, as we get into this, is that you would come into this place every Wednesday night knowing Wednesday night is date night with Jesus. I know, right? So let's get in the booth tonight with Jesus, okay? That's it. Let's get in the booth. Let's get in the booth with Jesus tonight. One of the, where I wanted to go tonight is we're gonna land in the gospel according to John. And so I want you to turn there. We're gonna get right into chapter 1. And for us to kind of get a glimpse of John, I wanted to do a little overview. So I'm gonna hand these things out. Sorry, it's not the biggest print. It's not as big as pastor's notes. It'd be about 7 pages. You can share that one. All right, here you go. I don't know if I hope I have enough. If I don't, then we're going to print some more real quick. I'm so sorry. Well, I was in a hurry trying to get this out. Okay, so grace, please. Well, we're going to read through this. All right. Are y'all okay to share that one?
No.
Please. I need one so I can read it just a little bit here with y'all. Oh, I've got one still. We can do that. Y'all can have two. Okay. I'm here. Wow. Spicy much. All right. I did. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about getting, I love this. As I have been reading this and just diving in, man, I just having some beautiful times with the Lord reading over this. And I want to read through this just for a few moments as just an overview of John. And then I want us to take a few minutes and we're going to read through the gospel, the first chapter. If we can get some help reading that, so we'll open up our Bibles and then I'll hand the microphone over around so we can kind of be a part of that. But I want to read this. John, there are significant events in the ministry of Jesus that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include, yet John leaves out including Jesus' birth, Jesus' baptism, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, confrontation with demons, Jesus' teaching in parables, the Last Supper, the agony of Gethsemane, the ascension. The first three gospels center on Jesus' ministry in Galilee. John centers his gospel on what Jesus said and did in Jerusalem. The difference in how the gospel presents Jesus' background, where he came from, Matthew shows Jesus came from Abraham through David. Luke shows Jesus came from Adam. Mark shows Jesus came through from Nazareth. John shows Jesus came from heaven, demonstrating that Jesus is God. Even though the Gospels have many details, however, it is wrong to think that the Gospel of John completes the story of Jesus. John wrote that the story of Jesus is so big that it can never be completed. John 21:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which they were written one, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were known for three synoptic gospels. The synoptic means see together. The first three Gospels present the life of Jesus in pretty much the same format. The first three Gospels focus more on what Jesus taught and did, and this is what's so beautiful. John focused more on who Jesus is. And that's why I really wanted to land on the Gospel of John, because of the fact that it just really shows on who he is for us to believe in him. John is a Gospel written for a specific purpose, that we might believe. A key verse that understanding the Gospel of John is found near the end of the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of John is beloved gospel because of the paradoxical combination of both simplicity and depth. John has been called a pool of which a child may wade and an elephant may swim. Its stories are simple that even a child will love them. But its statements are so profound that not no philosopher can fathom them. So if we give diligent attention to entertain sports, music, and the news, and how much more should we give careful attention when a man is speaking from heaven and utters a voice plainer than thunder? That's powerful. Sorry, my nose is. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to read through the first chapter together, okay? And if we can get some volunteers, because what I want to do is I just want to hand the mic around kind of pass it around. And I want to go through the whole chapter. And as I get to the end is where I want to land on, and this is for me. As we study this this book, I want to encourage you, read it through yourself over and over again. Study on it, chew on it. Because I promise you, for me, there's certain things that pop out to me and stand out to me and speak to me. And those are things I'm going to be presenting. And I'm going to have others come up and speak on through different chapters through this series. And they're going to do the same thing. Something that may stand out to Miss North. Something that may stand out to Dad or whoever else that may want to speak. There's so much in here that we don't have enough time to just touch on every single thing. But certain things, certain points, man, that speak to me and each one. I want to land on. But Dad, I want you to read. Let's go through the first five verses and then hand that mic around.
All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Okay, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Okay, verse 11.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten.
Come on.
The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was born before me."
He was before me.
All right. Verse 16.
And of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared him.
Come on. Hallelujah. Y'all, if you don't want to read, it's fine. We can pass it around to somebody else. It's just fine. No pressure. There you go. I'll pass it around. No problem.
19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Come on.
Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that which were sent were of the Pharisees.
Amen. Amen. You got it, Brother Charlie? You good?
Yeah.
25?
And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, is preferred before me, whose sandals strapped I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in
Bethabara,
beyond the Jordan, where John was baptized.
Amen. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right, y'all want to go ahead?
We at in 29?
Yeah, 29.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Come on!
This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
34. And I have seen and testified, this is the Son of God. And again the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing the following, said to them, Who do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, he translated teacher, where are you staying?
39. Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying. And they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. This is the first thing Andrew did, was to find his brother Simon and tell, We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated to Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
Amen. I want to pick up there now. Go ahead and turn that microphone off. I want to share the next few verses that just grabbed my attention. This whole chapter is from the beginning is so deep and so powerful. It speaks volumes. I know you guys are all theologians in here. Deep diving into everything. I feel like you guys are all those elephants that just dive into this thing so heavy, right? I'm like the child, so these little certain things, it just grabs me. That's what I'm going to talk about, okay? All right. Verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, hang on, let me get over here. This is it's powerful to me. I want to go back and actually read verse 45 again to you. It says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also prophet wrote Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Verse 46. This Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." He said, "I have a hard time believing this. That it's actually Jesus." You know, we come across with people like that, don't we? Can I even go a little further? I feel like so many times we get that way. We go into church services. Can God really even be here? It happens. We get a little judgy sometimes. This is truth. Okay? And this is why I'm like, the Lord just kind of slapped me upside the head on this one. I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, Lord, I'm listening." I think about that a lot. I've been dwelling on this. Like, how many times have we gone into services? Are you really here, God? Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yeah." I'm not saying, okay, but he's, so Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to, of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Then bam, your mail is red. I've been in services like that, where I'm like, then all of a sudden, look, I'm just being real with you, okay? I told you already about what kind of styles I enjoy better when it comes to worship. Okay, it's just a personal thing. It's okay. But man, if I walk into a church that only sings hymnals, and if I'm just closed off, man, I feel like Nathanael was like this. He was like, something really good came out. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting there, you're all of a sudden singing a hymn, and it's just like, slaps you in the face. And you're like, "Oh, okay." And it's the same thing with other styles of music, other styles of ministry. All of a sudden, your mail is being read. It catches you. Okay, I love this. We can't be like that. We got to understand what God wants to use and speak through every kind of situation. God, speak to me. Nathanael kind of had a little bit of a attitude. He's a little spicy right there. He's like, "Can really anything?" Lord, thank you. Thank you for still working. Because here's what Jesus did. He says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. And even though he just made a smart aleck remark, "Can really anything good come from?" And Jesus said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Beautiful. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I went back and I wanted to understand that just a little bit. And I was reading into this, and every single thing that was coming up was saying all scholars, everything was believing and saying that that is where he was spending time in prayer. "I saw you. I saw you." When I saw that in praying over this, you know, we get caught up with life and things happening in our situations, and we get busy. And so often, you know, I having conversations with other believers and that are just in the same, busy. And we try to spend our time in prayer and we try to read, but sometimes we just feel like it's not enough. It's not like it's because we're not spending hours and hours. And so we're like, God, I feel like I'm not giving. And I felt like this. I was like, man, God spoke to me so much. He says, I saw you reading that scripture this morning. I know it wasn't a whole lot of time, but I saw you. And we get so caught up with this. I have to spend all this. I know that's wonderful. And yes, we need to spend time with the Lord and we need to, but then we start feeling guilty that we're not. And God's like, I see you. I know your heart. I got you. It's okay. I know you got a little judgy. I see you how you still loving on me. I see how you messed up over there. It's okay. I see you still seeking me. I see you not doing this over here. It's okay. I see you. Man, that got to my attention so much because it's like that's us. One day we're throwing a fit, and then the morning we're praying, and the next day we're saying something stupid on the freeway, and then the next day we're praying and we're like, Lord, I just want to be on fire for you 24/7. And then we act a fool, and then God's like, I see your heart. That's what I did for you on the cross, because I know. I see you. That to me was so profound in this. I know there's a lot of beautiful things on this first chapter. But that's what took my spirit, that's what took my heart to cloud nine. He said, I saw you under the fig tree. I know you're seeking me. I get it. And right before that, he's like, can really anything? God, speak to my heart, man. I love that. I saw you. Nathanael, verse 49 says, answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Those moments, man, when God grabs us and speaks to us, those moments when we're getting kind of carried away, and we go into services where we feel like, God, are you really? And then all of a sudden, he reads our mail. We get so judgmental super fast when it comes to churches. And I understand we listen and make sure the preacher's preaching right. We do that. That's important. We're on top of that. But man, God wants to speak to us anytime, anywhere we go. And we can miss it, man. And I love it. I love it. I love it when I'm sitting there and I'm not really feeling I don't feel the Holy Spirit just moving like crazy, but then all of a sudden, somebody says something. Oh, and it just slaps me upside the head. That's so powerful. He's saying, I see you. I've got you. Man, I love that. Oh, gosh, I just love that. Yeah, it is. Let's just keep going. Verse 50 says, Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Wow. Jesus told Nathanael, I said, you hadn't seen nothing yet. Man, if we just would just open our ears and just let God move in our lives. Man, and stop thinking about those moments of when we said something to the animals that we probably shouldn't say. Y'all know what I mean? And just say, God, okay, I know I've got this and I've got that. And just let him do and work in our lives. I love this. And he said, verse 51, it says, and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I love that. with all of that, the biggest point for me out of this whole thing, and I got one more little thing I want to share real quick, is that when God said, I saw you, that just got my heart. God, thank you for seeing me. Thank you for seeing my heart, my desire to chase after you. Even sometimes I act a fool. Sometimes I do this or whatever. Okay, we all are that. We are all caught up with life, okay? Because as I see you, I see your heart. I love you. You're so awesome. I was like, God, thank you. It's so good. I literally, when I saw that, I just fell over bawling. It was just such a beautiful moment that God spoke to my spirit, man. Thank you, God. And the last thing is this. In this, I just want to point out about the first chapter. Jesus pointed out how different one comes, how the different ones came in. Andrew came to Jesus because of the preaching of John. Peter came to Jesus because of the witness of his brother. Philip came to Jesus as a result of the direct call of Jesus. Nathaniel came to Jesus as he overcame personal prejudice by a personal encounter with Jesus. And the last point is this, is we see these disciples coming into following Jesus in several avenues. Don't assume that you know exactly how God is going to work. God works in so many beautiful ways. He does. That's exactly right. He works in so many amazing ways. He uses all avenues of church styles, whether the preacher's hooting and hollering or just somber message or hymns, or if there's lights and smokes all over the place. Okay? God uses all those things and all kinds of avenues. One of the things I love, and I shared this a while back, is we heard that one lady is a tattoo artist, very secular, or I think her name was Kat or something, very popular, well-known tattoo artist, very, very secular, very worldly, came to know Jesus and gave her heart to Christ. And it wasn't in this big mega church. It wasn't in this big monster, huge lights, extravagant church. It was a small little church in a little small town of about 50 people. And she gave her heart to the Lord. God uses and moves in all kinds of ways. And God uses the smile on your face to bless somebody. God uses have a blessed day. God uses all kinds. So don't ever underestimate doing those little things. And don't use just because you messed up as an excuse. Okay, you messed up. Get back up on your feet and keep going. So you messed up and you said something. Okay, keep going. Amen. Every one of us are guilty of all that kind of stuff and whatever it is that we all do different times. Amen. We run the race. We keep going. Even though sometimes we get a little judgy, keep going. Keep listening. Keep running. Amen. And when I saw that, and I'm telling you, for me, man, that was such a beautiful moment in this chapter. And my prayer is that as we come into these Wednesday nights, that we come and just, Lord, show me a little bit more about you. Let me reveal a little bit more about you. I want to see it. I want to know more. And we'll dive into this. Sometimes we may skim through a couple of chapters. I don't know. We're going to just see how things go. And let. Yes, sir. He sure did.
But he had a personal relationship. He has a personal relationship.
Come on, preach, brother. Amen.
And we all come together.
That's it. Amen. We all different. He does. He has a personal relationship. Yes, ma'am. It's hard to comprehend that. Yes. No. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Something that stands out to you?
owe somebody sometimes. Like you go on a date, you want to talk. But have that for two or three before that.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. He's in love with us. Amen. All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Mm. Oh,
come on.
That's so good.
I heard a little statement.
Wow.
Some of one of our customers downstairs, and I can hear everything. One of them said, he loves his grandson so much that if his grandson came to him and said, Grandpa, he'll
that's powerful. Yeah. I don't have grandkids yet, but I've heard it's a whole nother level. Yeah, my kids got Papa wrapped around his finger. That's good. There you go. Amen. Okay.
Never heard
I just want to encourage you guys over the next